day. I didn't come on to give you a weather report, but I came on this morning to speak to you again from the scriptures for your encouragement in the hour in which we live. If you will turn to 2 Samuel, the 21st chapter, and beginning at the 15th verse. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbi Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, tackled him, and smote the Philistine, and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the life of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gath. Then Sittishai of the Hushite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giants. And there was again a battle in Gath with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jeroregim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature, that had on every hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giants. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath, and fell by the hand of David, and by the hand of his servant. Most of us know the story of how David in his youth slew Goliath, the great giant that defied the armies of Israel. But not too many realize that Goliath had 4 brothers, and they also had to be taken care of. David slew Goliath when he was first anointed with a prophetic anointing that he was to eventually be king over Israel. But the other 4 giants were not slain until the kingdom was well established under David's hand, and David was a fully mature man before the other 4 were ever taken care of. When David went out to fight with Goliath, he stopped at a brook, and he picked up not 1 stone to slay Goliath with, but he picked up 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and yet it only took 1 with which to kill Goliath. But the other 4 he picked up prophetically, that they might be used symbolically against the other 4 brothers of Goliath. It took many years before this was accomplished, but it was accomplished by the hand of David and his mighty men. In our early experiences with the anointing of God, we have slain a giant, maybe a couple of them. We have faced our Goliath, and we thought it was wonderful that God gave such a victory. But let me tell you, that is only the start. There is warfare and battle and maturity and spiritual education that continues on through the years. Now here we stand at the time of the changing of the ages, and figuratively, Goliath's 4 brothers yet have to be slain. And God is going to see that the job is accomplished. Let us take these 4 men one by one and see what it speaks to us in this hour and in this day. It says that Ishbi Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, and the word giant in the Hebrew is Rephaim. And if you will note on one of the other tapes, I mentioned the Nephilim and the Rephaim. The Nephilim, those are the fallen ones. These are the fallen sons of God, created sons, mind you, not generated sons. These are the ones that fell, took upon them bodies of flesh, and married the daughters of Adam. This brought about a great mixture that took the flood to take care of it. Out of this mixture came the Rephaim, the giant, which literally means the terrible one. And so these giants were seen not only before the flood, but the giants were seen at the time when Israel went in to conquer Canaan. They were seen in the days of David when they had to fight against them as the kingdom was being established. We also are facing them in these days, and yet many do not recognize them. Whereas it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The giants are in the earth again. All right, of what does Ishbi-Benob speak to us? What is this gigantic monstrosity that we are facing? The name itself means my seat is at Nob. Now Nob was a Levitical city belonging to the priests of the Lord. It was considered a priestly city. And yet, here is a giant with a name that means my seat is at Nob. I have set up my place in the Levitical city, in the sacred city where the priests of the Lord are to live. That's where I have set up my seat. Well, look around you today. Look at what is going on in the religious circles. Look what is going on even in spiritual circles. And you will find out that the giants are in there. They have taken up their abode and their position among the children of God. They are there to spoil and to corrupt. Now, the thing about this giant is that he was girded with a new sword. He had a great spear that weighed 300 shekels of brass. But that wasn't enough. Let us speak of the spear for just a moment while I'm passing. A spear would speak of that with which he would slay and kill, or wound at least. And it was 300 shekels of brass. In studying the meaning of numbers, 3 is the number of revelation. But brass is symbolic of judgment. What was it that this giant had with which he would wound and slay and kill? You put the two meanings together, 300 is but a multiple of 3, 300 shekels of brass, a revelation of judgment. We are living in a day when many supposed revelations of judgment are coming forth. Some of them my spirit will witness to, and some of them, it just make me ill. Inside of me there is such a sinking, groaning feeling. Now I know that there is judgment coming. There is no doubt about it. But we have giants among God's people, and they are giving revelations of judgment until God's people are terribly discouraged. If there is a message of judgment or a revelation of judgment, there should also be a message of comfort with it. But beside this spear was this new sword with which Ishbi-Benob was girded, and his main purpose was to slay David. He was going to use the sword, not the spear, on David. Mark you, David was a man well matured in years, well seasoned in spiritual battles, and he had battled and battled and battled until the scripture here says that he waxed faint. Isn't this a picture of God's people today? They are waxing faint in the battle. They are weary in mind, in spirit, in body. It seems there is not enough strength to carry on the warfare. It seems that every step is an effort. The whole body is crying out against the pressure that is upon it. The mind is rebelling against the constant pressure against it. And the spirit is groaning because of the pressure against it. So the giant that is seated among God's people has set up his place among them. He is going to use a new sword against them. The sword speaks of the word, what is spoken. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. This is in the positive. It is true in the negative. It is spoken words or written words that will affect us. They can either give us life or they can give us death. The power of life and death is in the tongue, the scripture says. So we need to weigh well the words that we hear and the words that we read, that they bring to
give us life and not death. All right, there is a new word coming forth. There seems to be a flood of words coming forth. And the air is filled with them. And the scripture says there are so many voices in the world. Listen to them say this, but don't follow everything that comes. By all means, weigh them and see that they weigh right in the balance of true discernment and judgment. All right, a new song, a new word is being given forth by the giant. But the same word for new sword is also the same word for new moon. And the giants are using against us the lunar power in these days. If you have not been cognizant of it, you better take notice. You will note that at full moon there is a terrible pressure brought to bear upon you. And at new moon there is a terrible pressure brought to bear upon you. Now this same word for new sword is new moon. Now I'm not going to speak particularly of the full moon now. I want to speak of the new moon. There was a time when I felt terrible pressures at full moon. And then it began to change. And I found that there was a buildup of tremendous pressure at new moon. The beginning of the new lunar cycle. This has to do with timing. The giants are using the force of lunar power against us. Now, it's been long known in psychiatric circles that the phases of the moon affect people who are mentally ill. It affects us, too, because it is used as a sword against us. And in Revelation 12, you find that the woman there, which pictures the daughters of God, is standing with the moon under her feet. There comes the time when we must get on top of it and rise above it and stand on it rather than it influencing all of our lives and pressuring us nearly to death. All right, the same word for new sword is not only new moon, but it also is new thing or new thing. If you will look up the word things in a regular dictionary, you'll find that it's a substitutionary word for the actual person or object. The emphasis is on the word substitute. Now, a substitute is not the real thing. Let that soak in for a minute. And then in connection with it, I want to bring out the meaning of the word antichrist. The word anti to us always means against. But in the Greek from which it is taken, it does not necessarily mean against. It means instead of or a substitute. We are being faced with a new sword, a new moon, and a new thing or a new substance. What a day in which to live. What an hour in which our senses, spiritual senses, must be sharpened. Much of what is given forth in supposedly spiritual circles today is anti-Christ. It is something in the place of, something instead of. It is a substitute for Christ. Now the word Christ only means anointed one or anointing. And today, and I will mention this, and probably there will be those who will disagree with me, but the charismatic movement of today is anti-Christ. You say, what do you mean? They speak in tongues, they have blessings, they sing in the Spirit, they do all of these things. I grant you that is true. And I am not talking about people who are honestly filled with the spirits of God. There is a difference. I am talking about the charismatic movement, and that's in quotes, and I am limiting it to that. It is bringing in all kinds of things, and the thing is not producing righteousness in the lives of people like it should. It is a substitute. It is a new thing, but it is a new substitute. It is instead of the true anointing that will produce the nature and the character of God in people. Don't be swallowed up in it. Watch it. This new sword is out against the seasoned warriors. And it's coming at a time when we're weary and faint in body and in mind. But there are those who recognize the giant, who see this new thing that is coming forth, and they will stand together. And the warriors of David rose up, and it says they succored him. Oh, this is a day in which we need to succor one another, comfort and protect and encourage. There are so many alien forces against us, and we must stand by one another and seek cure and succor and comfort and stand against these forces until the victory is won. They rose up against him. And one of these warriors stood up and slew him, and his men said to him, David, you're not going out to battle with us again, lest they put out the light of Israel. They were referring to David as the light of Israel. And there is a company of people that they are not just warriors, they're not just mature. They are the light that is to enlighten God's people. And they need to be recognized until people stand with them that that light be not extinguished. Of what does David speak? His name means loving or beloved. And there is a maturity in love, a perfection in love. And those that are perfected in the love of God are the light of the princes of God, which Israel means. Recognize them, saints, and stand with them in this hour until these giants are slain rather than these giants overcoming us. All right, this was one of Goliath's brothers, but that wasn't all of them. There is another brother. There is another brother, and there is another brother. There are three more besides Ishbi-Benob. And these are all born of the Rephaim, or born of the giant. The second one mentioned here is Sath, which means a dish for blood or wine, a container for blood or wine. Now, a container that would hold blood would infer that there had been a sacrifice, and the blood spilled, otherwise it couldn't be held in a dish. The word in the Hebrew also means to terminate. And we are faced with many Saths today, many giants named Sath, and they're out for one thing, and that is to terminate us. They are out to slay us, and I'm not talking either just about a spiritual thing. I am talking about a physical thing. They are out to slay us, to sacrifice us, unto their own gods and unto their own whims. They want to terminate those in which is the life and the light and the love of God. Let me tell you that there is an awful, overwhelming power, gigantic power of the spirit of death that is against God's children. had promises given me that he's going to loose those that are appointed unto death. As far as our enemies are concerned, we are appointed to death. Whether they're spiritual enemies or spiritual enemies embodied in flesh, they are out to terminate us in any way that they can possibly do it. Russia says she is working on the power, the mental power, to cross the thousands of miles and inflict all kinds of sicknesses upon people in other countries. They say they will bring on heart attacks and strokes and illnesses. And in that book that I referred to in another case about Passport to Eternity, those beings on the spacecraft said, when we get through with the health of the people, they will be ready to accept us. Yes, there is a terrific battle against your body, against your well-being, and most of what you are suffering now is the result of a spiritual conflict. Take courage. The shaft was slain, please. There was a stone prophetically picked up by David in his earlier years that was for that one that tries to terminate the life of God's people. All right, the third one, it doesn't give his name in this account, but it gives his name over in 1 Chronicles, the 20th chapter and the 5th verse. And his name is Lamai, and it means fruitful or full of food. Talks about satiation. Oh, yes, in what way? You say it talks about food. It can refer to food, yes. And there is a terrific battle against God's people in regards to food because God is changing our diet. Do you know that we are going to be put into the diet of the kingdom if we ever live in the kingdom? And God is dealing with many people as to what they should eat and what they should not eat. And I have been amazed at some of the things that God has spoken to me. May I digress to give you just a personal word? Sometime back, the Lord spoke to me and he said, don't eat the fruit of the palm. Well, those are dates and coconuts, and I was very, very fond of them in every way. About the same time, I came in contact with a certain teaching, and I was in contact with a person that had a very sweet spirit, apparently, and still has, but there are some things that need to be corrected. Anyhow, in this teaching, there was the teaching of the place of the male and the female. And I was rather surprised when it went into the oral sex and some of the other things. And of course, the palm tree was used as symbolic of the sexual organs of the male. And I thought, oh Lord, how faithful you are. Even in the symbols that people use, that you speak to us, cannot partake of it. There is so much new teaching in these days, saints. There is a true teaching of the male and the female, but everything is coming along to spoil it if they possibly can. Not long after that, and I'd always been quite a mushroom eater, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God began to deal with me. Leave it alone. Don't eat it. And I found a revulsion in my spirit concerning it. I said, all right, Lord. And so I put aside the mushrooms. Not long after that, a professor, that's a professor in France, and he also has a location in Texas, sent me a book called The Cross and the Sacred Mushroom. Well, I began to read in there, and I found out some things that had been carried on from the fertility doctrines of ages ago, and it involved the mushroom. And I said, thank you, Lord, another warning. Now, I believe that this was a spiritual application, but I also believe there is a physical application And there is a reason for these things when God begins to deal with us. Listen to the Spirit of God as He speaks to you. And be quick to follow, for you will find out that God has specific reasons in dealing with your eating. Our eating gives us either a positive force or a negative force, and God is trying to regulate it and bring us into the right channels that we move in the vibration of the Spirit of God and not the vibration of man's spirit or some negative spirit. But beyond that, what about these giants meaning food folk? It also means that they ate up, they practiced cannibalism upon the people. They ate up the inhabitants of the land. You say, we're not faced with cannibalism, are we? Yes, cannibalism is being practiced today. We don't know much about it. But the point I want to bring out is, again, this thing is trying to slay the people of God, either by wrong eating or by literally destroying our flesh. But God has promised that He will preserve His only life, and He will see us through this. All right, the fourth giant was a man of great stature with six fingers and six toes on each hand and foot, a total number of 24. Six is the number of man. 24 is a governmental number. 12 is divine government. 24 is twice 12, so it's still a governmental number. We have a giant in the earth today, and giants, I should say, plural. And they are interested in but one thing, and that is to bring forth the one world government of man. But it isn't going to work. David and his warriors are going to slay him. And as we see this thing approaching and being more and more manifest, some people are troubled. They say, what do we do? All I can tell you is that when Daniel had the vision of the great image, in fact, it was the king's dream that was given to Daniel, there was a stone cut out of the mountain without hands, and it smote the image on the feet, it ground it to powder, and the wind blew it away, and the stone grew into a great mountain or a great kingdom and filled the whole earth. Yes, God is raising up a people that are going to smite the image of man. They are going to ruin man's government. They are going to bring forth the government of God in the earth, and the kingdom of God is going to be made manifest. It says the saints shall possess the kingdom. It is also written that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ or His anointed one. Take courage, saints. We're at that time now when the giants are looming large and great and mighty. But our God has promised that there is victory. And I say to you, upon the authority of the Scriptures and the word that speaks in my own heart, that you shall come forth more than conquerors. You shall possess your possessions. You shall, with your head, which is our Lord and Savior, you shall take the kingdoms of the earth. There is no defeat in God. There is comfort for those whose faith is cast upon Him. And you shall come forth, not in your triumph, but in His triumph. And His triumph shall be your triumph. God bless you. And may you be encouraged to stand against the monstrosity that we face today, the gigantic forces, for God is still.